Part 2. Long Conversations.
Directions.
In this section, you will hear two long conversations. At the end of each conversation, some questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the four choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Conversation 1.
Directions.
First, study the words and expressions in the table below. Then, listen to the conversation and select the best answer to each question.
Mr. Bengston, why did you decide to join the Global Warming Policy Foundation, so-called GWPF, an organization known for its skepticism about climate change?
It is really important to allow a broad debate on energy and climate. We must urgently explore realistic ways to address the different scientific, technical, and economic challenges in solving the world's energy problems and the associated environmental issues.
The people at GWPF don't exactly have a reputation for reconsidering their opinions. Have you become a so-called climate skeptic?
I have always been a skeptic, and I believe this is what most scientists really are.
But weren't you one of the alarmists 20 years ago? Do you think your position at that time was wrong?
I have not changed my view on a fundamental level. I have never seen myself as an alarmist, but rather as a scientist with a critical viewpoint. And in that sense, I have always been a skeptic. I have devoted most of my career to developing models for predicting the weather, and in doing so, I have learned the importance of validating forecasts against observed weather.
You think there's a need for climate research to do some catching up in this regard?
It is frustrating that climate science is not able to validate their simulations correctly. Since the end of the 20th century, the warming of the Earth has been much weaker than what climate models show.
So do you suggest we should carry on with business as usual just because forecasts are complicated?
No.
I think the best and perhaps only sensible policy for the future is to prepare society for change and be prepared to adjust.
In 25 years, we'll have a world with some 9 to 10 billion people that will require twice as much primary energy as today. We must embrace new science and technology in a more positive way than we presently do in Europe. This includes, for example, nuclear energy and genetic food production to provide the world what it urgently needs.
Questions. 9. What can we know about the organization of GWPF from the conversation? Ten. How does Mr. Bengtson think of the efforts in solving problems of the world's energy and environment? Eleven. What has Mr. Bengtson been doing in his career? 12. How do Europeans look at new science and technology in solving environmental issues according to the conversation?
Conversation 2.
Directions.
First, study the words and expressions in the table below. Then, listen to the conversation and select the best answer to each question.
China is dazzling the world with its booming economy, which grew by 9.5%. Aren't you pleased with this speed of growth?
Of course I am pleased with the success of China's economy. But at the same time, I am worried. We are using too many raw materials to sustain this growth. To produce goods worth $10,000, for example, We need 7 times more resources than Japan, nearly 6 times more than the United States, and perhaps more embarrassing, nearly 3 times more than India. Things can't, nor should they, be allowed to go on like that.
Such a viewpoint is not exactly widespread in your country.
Many factors are coming together here. Our raw materials are scarce, we don't have enough land, and our population is constantly growing. Currently, there are 1.3 billion people living in China. That's twice as many as 50 years ago. Cities are growing, but desert areas are expanding at the same time. Habitable and usable land has been halved over the past 50 years.
Still, each year China is strengthening its reputations as an economic wonderland.
This miracle will end soon because the environment can no longer keep pace. Acid rain is falling on 1/3 of the Chinese territory. Half of the water in our 7 largest rivers is completely useless, while 1/4 of our citizens do not have access to clean drinking water. 1/3 of the urban population is breathing polluted air, and less than 20% of the trash in cities is treated and processed in an environmentally sustainable manner. Finally, 5 of the 10 most polluted cities worldwide are in China. Air pollution has become a major problem for Chinese cities.
Hasn't your government tried to get pollution under control?
Yes, it has. And in some cities such as Beijing, the air quality has in fact improved. Also, the water in some rivers and lakes is now cleaner than it has been in the past. There are more conservation areas now, and some model cities that focus specifically on environmental protection. We are replanting forests. We have passed additional laws and regulations that are stricter than in the past, and they are being more rigorously enforced. Questions. 13. Why is the woman worried about the speed of growth of Chinese economy? What can we know about habitable and usable land in China from the conversation? 15. What is the major problem for Chinese cities now according to the conversation? 16. What can we know about the water situation in China now?